Today is the 12th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here around the global campfire with you today. As we gather from all the farthest points of the earth, gather together in this place, this little place that we have each and every day to allow God's word to speak into our lives, it is a joy and an honor to be around the global campfire with you and do what we do, which is to take the next step forward. We were at the inauguration or the dedication of the temple of the Most High God in Jerusalem yesterday, as we read in 1 Kings. We were with Solomon dedicating the temple with all of the people of Israel, and we're continuing forward on that journey today. So let's dive in. 1 Kings chapters 9 and 10. And we are reading from the Christian Standard Bible this week. When Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all that Solomon desired to do, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, just as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, "I have heard your prayer and petition you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple you have built to put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, with a heart of integrity and in what is right, doing everything I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and ordinances, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised your father David. You will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. If you or your sons turn away from following me and do not keep my commands, my statutes that I have set before you, and if you go and serve other gods and bow in worship to them, I will cut off Israel from the land I gave them, and I will reject the temple I have sanctified for my name. Israel will become an object of scorn and ridicule among all the peoples. Though this temple is now exalted, everyone who passes by will be appalled and will scoff. They will say, 'Why did the Lord do this to this land and this temple?' Then they will say, 'Because they abandoned the Lord their God who brought their ancestors out of the land of Egypt. They held on to other gods and bowed in worship to them and served them. Because of this, the Lord brought all this ruin on them.'" At the end of 20 years, during which Solomon had built the two houses, the Lord's temple and the royal palace, King Hiram of Tyre, having supplied him with cedar and cypress logs and gold for his every wish, King Solomon gave Hiram 20 towns in the land of Galilee. So Hiram went out from Tyre to look over the towns that Solomon had given him, but he was not pleased with them. So he said, "What are these towns you have given me, my brother?" So he called them the land of Kabul, as they are still called today. Now Hiram had sent the king 9,000 pounds of gold. This is the account of the forced labor that King Solomon had imposed to build the Lord's temple, his own palace, the supporting terraces, the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had attacked and captured Gezer. He then burned it, killed the Canaanites who lived in the city, and gave it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. Then Solomon rebuilt Gezer, Lower Bet-Horon, Baalat, Tamar in the wilderness of Judah, all the storage cities that belonged to Solomon, the chariot cities, the cavalry cities, and whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, Lebanon, or anywhere else in the land of his dominion. As for all the peoples who remained of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, who were not Israelites, their descendants who remained in the land after them, those whom the Israelites were unable to destroy completely, Solomon imposed forced labor on them. It is still this way today. But Solomon did not consign the Israelites to slavery. They were soldiers, his servants, his commanders, his captains, and commanders of his chariots and his cavalry. These were the deputies who were over Solomon's work. 550 who supervised the people doing the work. Pharaoh's daughter moved from the city of David to the house that Solomon had built for her. He then built the terraces. 3 times a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on the altar he had built for the Lord, and he burned incense with them in the Lord's presence. So he completed the temple. King Solomon put together a fleet of ships at Ezion-Geber, which is near Eilat on the shore of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom. With the fleet, Hiram sent his servants, experienced seamen, along with Solomon's servants. They went to Ophir and acquired gold there, 16 tons, and he delivered it to Solomon. The Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's fame, connected with the name of the Lord, and came to test him with difficult questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very large entourage, with camels bearing spices, gold in great abundance, and precious stones. She came to Solomon and spoke to him about everything that was on her mind. So Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too difficult for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba observed all of Solomon's wisdom, the palace he had built, the food at his table, his servants' residence, his attendants' service and their attire, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he offered at the Lord's temple, it took her breath away. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your words and about your wisdom is true. But I didn't believe the reports until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, I was not even told half. Your wisdom and prosperity far exceed the report I heard. How happy are your men? How happy are these servants of yours who always stand in your presence hearing your wisdom? Blessed be the Lord your God. He delighted in you and put you on the throne of Israel because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel. He has made you king to carry out justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 4.5 tons of gold, a great quantity of spices, and precious stones. Never again did such a quantity of spices arrive as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. In addition, Hiram's fleet that carried gold from Ophir brought from Ophir a large quantity of almug wood and precious stones. The king made the almug wood into steps for the Lord's temple and the king's palace, and into lyres and harps for the singers. Never before did such almug wood arrive, and the like has not been seen again. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba her every desire, whatever she asked, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. And she, along with her servants, returned to her own country. The weight of gold that came to Solomon annually was 25 tons, besides what came from merchants, traders, merchandise, and all the Arabian kings and governors of the land. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 15 pounds of gold went into each shield. He made 300 small shields of hammered gold. Nearly 4 pounds of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. The king also made a large ivory throne and overlaid it with fine gold. The throne had 6 steps. There was a rounded top at the back of the throne, armrests on either side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the armrests. 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps, 1 at each end. Nothing like it had ever been made in any other kingdom. All of King Solomon's drinking cups were gold, and all the utensils of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. There was no silver, since it was considered as nothing in Solomon's time. For the king had ships of Tarshish at sea with Hiram's fleets, and once every 3 years the ships of Tarshish would arrive bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the world in riches and in wisdom. The whole world wanted an audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart. Every man would bring his annual tribute, items of silver and gold, clothing, weapons, spices, and horses and mules. Solomon accumulated 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen and stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar as abundant as sycamore in the Judean foothills. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and Kew. The king's traders bought them from Kew at the going price. A chariot was imported from Egypt for 15 pounds of silver, and a horse for 4 pounds. In the same way, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and to the kings of Aram through their agents. Acts 8:14-40. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. After they went down there, they prayed for them so that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter told him, "May your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon replied, "so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So after they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they traveled back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join that chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I?" he said, "unless someone guides me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about? Himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Psalm 130. Awaiting Redemption, a Song of Ascents. Out of the depths I call to you, Lord. Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for help. Lord, if you kept an account of iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. I wait and put my hope in his word. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for there is faithful love with the Lord, and with him is redemption in abundance, and he will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Proverbs 17, 2 and 3. A prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son and share an inheritance among brothers. A crucible for silver and a smelter for gold, and the Lord is the tester of hearts. Okay, so as we were reading through 1 Kings today, we were enjoying the glory of a moment that we have been working toward, it seems, since we began the journey at the first of the year. And you may be going like, what, really? Like, how? Well, we have been working through the story since we met Abraham of this family and their destiny, this Hebrew people, this people who are the children of Jacob, Abraham's grandson. His name was changed to Israel, and his children became the children of Israel because they're Israel's children, and the 12 children became the 12 tribes. And we followed them all the way into Egypt with the story of Joseph. We watched them be emancipated from slavery. We watched them and wandered with them as they navigated their wilderness journey. We crossed the Jordan River with them. We endured the times of the judges with them, and we saw them demand a king, and we met that king, King Saul. And we learned a lot about him and a lot about ourselves through his reign, and then we were introduced to David, who was intertwined with Saul's story, but who eventually became king of Israel, the second king of Israel. And under David's leadership, peace was brought on all sides. And then Solomon ascended the throne of his father and took the reins and brought abundance, peace, and prosperity to the land. The temple of the Most High God stands in the capital city, the holy city of Jerusalem. And there's a king's palace, and there's administrative buildings, and Solomon has built up the entire nation. It's like we've been traveling toward this point all along, following a promise. Go to a land that you do not know, that I will show you. And a promise, I will make your descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore. I will bless all the nations of the earth through you. We've been chasing that story until we get here to this very day, and we read about a land flowing with milk and honey. We read about a land of plenty for all. We read about a most advanced and prosperous civilization. We heard about fortified cities situated all around Israel with vast stores of wealth and prosperity. We read about a fleet of ships that would sail to the farthest reaches of the known world and come back with treasures unknown. Gold and animals and all kinds of exotic treasures from Africa. I mean, battle shields hammered out of pure gold. Goblets made of pure gold. Silverware, not made of silver, but made of pure gold. Because silver was as plentiful as stone and didn't have that much value because it was so plentiful. Dignitaries from all the far reaches of the world hear of what's going on in Israel and hear of this king and come to have an audience with the wisdom of Solomon. We should enjoy this moment in the Bible. We've reached this point. And from this point forward, we're going to watch things get pushed too far. It's like we've been climbing up the mountain of this story and we have reached the summit. And now we will begin to move down the other side of this story. And the people, beginning with King Solomon, will begin to fall away from God. And it will take time, but the disintegration will be predictable and continual. And it will lead to the opposite of the day we are experiencing in the scriptures today. Today we are rejoicing that it is fulfilled, that what God said has come true, and that there is this nation, the children of Israel, and God is their God. And they are blessing the nations, and everyone is flocking to them. The opposite of this is that Jerusalem is destroyed, and everyone who lives there is carried away to a different land that they do not know. So we have a moment here, as we're experiencing the joy of the apex of this story, to know where the story is going to go, and watch how they get there, because the deterioration that happens in our lives undermines everything that is giving us a foundation too, and it takes time, but we eventually collapse. We know this. We've navigated ourselves into these situations before. If we pay attention to the story going forward, we'll understand how it happened to ancient Israel and learn a lot about ourselves along the way. And so, Father, we thank you for this moment. It's a moment that, whether we've stated it or even understood that we were heading toward this moment, we've been working toward this moment since we began reading the scriptures this year. We've worked through this story of the children of Israel. And here we are, under King Solomon's rule, the wisest man in the world, an anointed one of God, somebody you spoke to, bringing them to this moment. They just won't stay here. And we need to learn from this lesson, because we have the back and forth, the peaks and the valleys in our lives too. What would it look like to just simply walk with you, stay obedient to you, be loyal to you without turning to the left or the right? Help us observe this. Help us to learn from this. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that's where you can find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app is also available, and that does everything that the website does and way more. And that's in the palm of your hand, and that is free from the app store that works with your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and check out the community section. The community section is where there are different links to get connected on social media. It is also where the prayer wall lives. And that is exclusive here in our community. It's always there. It's always on. It's never off. We're always praying there. We're always asking for prayer there. And so you can always go there. There's a place that you can always go no matter what's going on. And just share your story. Speak it out. Allow brothers and sisters to come alongside you and pray for you. Or just going there and praying for brothers and sisters, just being an agent of encouragement, just sowing and praying for people and letting them know that they're not alone. It's a beautiful thing to be aware of because it's always there. We have this place that when the bottom falls out, we have a place. And so that can be found in the community section on the website or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around showing up each day and taking the next step forward, if that's life-giving, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
I saw the path ahead. And I said, give me a lantern, because the path ahead is dark, and I don't know the way. And my friend said to me, put your hand in the hand of the Lord, because it is better than any light, safer.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to thank Tamara for the blanket prayer for all the dabbers. I also want to pray for Lisa for the healing of cancer, and I wanted to pray for her strength and her guidance in her meals. I want to also pray for Philip and the challenges that he's going through in his marriage. I want to also pray for the redemption. Remember the for Delta Alpha Foxtrot was talking about redemption. I want to ask also the dabbers to pray for my precious sister-in-law. I have a sister-in-law that her husband is a minister in Philadelphia, and she's been in the hospital for 3 weeks. She's a liver transplant patient, and she's going through with her white blood cells being at zero capacity. I don't know what that means, but we know that God can do anything, and I just want you all to agree with me in prayer that God gives her the victory. They have 4 kids, and those precious kids need their mom just like her husband needs them, and we're all praying for her. And I just thought I would get the dabbers involved in the prayer also. And so I just wanted you all to know I love you so much. I wanted to say thanks so much for someone calling me out today, and I want to continue to pray for Blind Tony, Lisa, the encourager. I want to pray for those precious people who lost the man who lost his wife in the automobile accident, and I want to pray for those who lost their loved ones, and just pray for the dabbers and also Brian and his family. And I just want to say I love you all. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hi, DAB family. This is Ethan calling from Texas. I just wanted to ask everyone out there if I could have some prayers, because I'm having trouble letting go of things in my life that I know need to go, and I'm having trouble doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and it feels like a lot. And everything feels really hard, and I don't know what to do. I'm praying and I'm trusting God as I can, but I just feel like I'm letting myself down, like I'm letting God down, and like I'm letting my family down. And I just would ask if any of y'all out there can relate to my situation, if you can pray for me, just for things to clear up a little bit and for me to be able to go in the right direction that I should. And anyone else out there that's struggling with letting things go that they need to go, I'm there for you, and I hear what you're going through, and I'm praying about all of you. And I just ask that in return, one of y'all just say a prayer about me. I love you all, and I hope God's working through your lives, and just, yeah.
Hi, Christina from Oregon. This is Casey, the single-minded plumber. I just wanted to let you know that you're my family, as well as my neighbor. I'm from Oregon as well. Your story is my story also, and it's my wife's story also, and it's most everyone I grew up with story too. I've been clean and sober since August 23rd of 2021. I am calling to tell you that I am praying for you, for wisdom, for guidance, for strength, and for support, that our God, who can do anything, will provide you. I pray that I bless you with the Lord's path to the desires of your heart, in Jesus' name. I hope you have a wonderful day today, and it is better on the other side. I'll be praying for you, and pray for me that I stay here. Thank you. I love all you guys.
Hi, guys. I'm going to go by the moniker Friend of God in Denver for now. I've been listening for a while and praying for a while, and I just wanted to post my first prayer, which is for my Aunt Elvia, who's in Colombia and has been diagnosed with liver cancer. I just got word from my mom that the prognosis isn't good. So I want to raise my Aunt Elvia before the community for us to pray for her, and that God give her healing, if it is His will, and I know it is, and also comfort and wisdom to the family, and that we may be known by our love for each other as we walk through this difficult situation. Thank you very much. God bless.